just like turned it on. Oh. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job. There we go. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today.
Woo!
Woo! Woo!
My sisters.
Oh, no. So we have a couple of announcements that we're going to have. First of all, we have prayer meeting. And it's an awesome time to just get together and pray. I just encourage everybody to, you can join Zoom. Or you can call, and it's just a great time to pray together. We also have gleaners on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. And come a little before, because I think the food goes at 11 fast. O'clock. It's pretty fast. daylight savings time next week, so we're gonna fall back. So next week, we turn our clocks back an hour. Back an hour. Yes, we will. So I do have a couple of other announcements. We had a great celebration for Teresa on Sunday afternoon. We have a lot of food left over from it. So next Sunday after church, we're not having potluck, but we are going to have, it's like cheese and crackers and things like that. We'll pick up some grapes and have a little snack. And since they're not here, we're going to celebrate Jean and Dovey's retirement. So I'm going to get a cake for that. So we'll celebrate that. But they don't know about that. So we can't.
Hopefully they're not
watching.
What
are they watching?
Oh. They can't watch it.
Jean's not watching.
I know Jean's not watching it. Okay.
Never mind, Dovey.
I forgot that. Duh. I just want you to celebrate. I know.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm going to call Dan. I'll tell him not to let Debbie watch. Anyway, next week, day after service for lunch, we're going to get started back with our potlucks. I think it's really important. I don't care if there's, like somebody said, if there's five people, it's five people to get together. And I think it's really important that we need to fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one will be... We'll have our holiday potluck, and that's going to be the first Sunday in December, whatever that is. So we'll have a sign-up sheet to bring, and we'll have turkey and ham and I said the first Sunday.
December 4th.
Okay. So that's just our December potluck. So also there's the community potluck. And the community potluck is for the whole community. And we've been having some really good ones. So this next one is going to be at noon on November 17th. And so if you can come, it's just kind of a fun way of getting together and meeting new people. And we've had different people each time, so it's been great.
Yeah.
So this time we'll be at noon, and I think Sherry had said she thought she would just do soup and sandwiches because it's so close to Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
So I think she's going to just say we'll bring soups or sandwiches or dessert. So that'll be for the community potluck, and I'm sure there'll be more on that when it gets closer. So, and then there's one other thing. Bobby has given her notice that she is not going to be janitor anymore, so we are in search for a janitor for the church. If anybody knows, I'm just putting this out here, if anybody knows of someone that maybe needs a small part-time job, it's like 2 hours a week to come and clean, and they can pick the day that they want to clean. And if you know of somebody that would be interested in doing that, have them contact either me or Teresa. And then, if it's... No. I think things have changed, and it's getting hard for Bobby, and her sons have done a lot of it. So I think it's just, she's ready to retire. So, and that's okay. I will say, and vacuuming is, I did it for 15 years with this church when there was a lot more people.
A lot of vacuuming.
And it's hard. This sanctuary probably can only need vacuuming every other week when there's, you know, it's probably okay. The fellowship hall needs it every week. It's a big area that it does need vacuuming. We have AA, Garden Club meets there. We have leaners, everything that happens there. So anyway, anybody know of anybody that needs a part-time job? Like I said, a couple of hours a week. It would give them extra money. So anyway. Just for you to think on and let me know if you know anybody. And we have Pastor Appreciation Month. This is the last Sunday of the month, but we've been doing it all month, and we are so thankful to have Pastor Teresa here with us now. So with Pastor Appreciation Month, we have a little, and I don't know where the card is.
I think on the pew there.
Oh, she did give it to me.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And with that, we have a verse to say all together to appreciate Pastor Teresa. May the Lord bless you and protect you.
May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. So then we have the shoeboxes. We have a lot of announcements today. So we're getting ready to collect the shoeboxes. And it will be Sunday the 20th that we collect them. So there's more back there. Encourage you to take some. And we will see a little.
My name is Elizabeth Costner, and I'm from Latvia. My childhood was not the easiest one. I had two younger siblings with me, and we lived in a super poor environment. My birth parents were very alcoholic and drug addicts, and so living with them was always never safe. One day, a social worker came to my house. She walks in, and then not long after that, she comes back out and she tells us to get in the car, and she drove us all the way to the orphanage. Me and my two younger siblings, we lived in an orphanage for about a year. At the end of the year, the social worker came back and she asked if I would like to be part of a foster care family. The word family got me to say yes right away. I only had a foster mom. From the very beginning we met her, she pointed out that she never wanted older children. She made it clear that anytime I disobey or got a line, she could send me back to orphanage. I don't want to go back. There was a day she took me and my siblings to an organization that was doing food stamps. We got our food, but then I was about to leave and my foster mom was like, hey, not yet. And when she guided me towards the long line of people just standing. When it was our turn, the person just looked at me and gave me a shoebox. And the person just smiled and said, here, it's a gift for you. I did not understand why a stranger would give me a gift. Foster mom told us we had to wait till we get home. That was the four longest miles in my entire life. I also remember it was a cold winter day. We didn't even notice we were cold. So when we got home, my younger siblings dug in right away with the box And the first thing I saw was their joy, their happiness for the first time. It warmed my heart so much to just see them happy. Then I looked down at my box and I just looked at it. I opened the box and the first thing was this little purple mouse. It's my first toy I have ever owned that was just mine. Besides the box, I also got a greatest gift booklet. The booklet was full of illustrations. I was amazed and I loved the illustrations and colors. And so I started reading it. It got my curiosity up so high because it was talking about Jesus, Lord, resurrection, prayer. But most of all, I think reading that he is my savior and that he loves me made me rethink everything I knew about what I was going through. It wasn't until a few years later, when I was about 14, when I was going through some hard things. I didn't felt loved from the day I was born till I got to foster care system. Even through there, while she cared for us, there was really no love, no emotional attachments. I remember the connection the booklet gave me, which made me remember what I read. And so when I read that, it made me really felt like I cannot believe a stranger will feel love for me, which helped me to really pray for the first time. It felt like a warm, invisible blanket wrapped around me. It felt like Lord was giving me a hug. Officially, he has found me. And so from that day, I never stopped praying. I prayed that we would officially all have a family. Our prayers were answered. We finally got a family. We were adopted in Arkansas. This picture was taken in Latvia as my parents traveled to my country to pick us up officially as their daughters. Their love for us is strong and pure, and I love them so much. I told my mom and my dad, we have to pack a box. So each member of our family ended up packing a box, and we send it off every single year. It may seem simple to others, but it spoke so much to me and meant so much to me. Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Kid changed my life.
Whew, that was a good one.
Yes, it was.
Such a good one. The shoeboxers are just awesome. So I just pray that we get some filled and bless these children that don't have anything. So, I also wanted to remind you there's the voter's guide back there if anybody needs one. It's just a great thing from the family council. I look at it every year when I'm voting. So it just helps me see what people, what the candidates believe in and compared to what I believe. So anyway, shoeboxes, November 20th. All right, let's go to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here today. We are thankful that we have this church that we can come to and just be a refuge. We thank you for Pastor Teresa that has been called here. We are just so blessed by her, Lord, and we just ask a special blessing as she speaks today. Father God, we just lift these songs we're going to sing up to you. They're just we love you, Lord, and we just want to give you praise for all you do for us. We thank you for those that are watching online, and we just pray that they are blessed also. And Lord, just be with us in this time. Just open our hearts to learn what we want to, what you want us to learn. And just thankful that we have you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. So we'll go to our call to worship. And it is Romans 1:17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Amen. It's through faith. So let's praise the Lord. Hail the power of Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
crown him Lord above. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the
sing of the mercies of the Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Lord, take the first place in my heart.
Savior, forsaking my all, from sinful things now I will part. To thee I surrender, for mercy I call. Come take the first place in my heart. Oh, take the first place in my heart. Oh, take the first place in my heart. I open the door, come in, I implore. Lord, take the first place in my heart. I cannot not be lost, Lord, for Thee I will live. Forgiveness, O Savior, if I will confess, Thou wilt freely forgive and take the first place in my heart. Oh, take the first place in my heart. Oh, take the first place in my heart. I open the door, come in, I implore. Lord, take the first place in my heart. The joy bells of heaven will ring in my soul. My Savior, Redeemer, Thou art. To Thee I surrender, wilt Thou make me whole? Take now the first place in my heart. Oh, take the first place in my heart. Oh, take the first place in my heart. I open the door, come in, I implore. Lord, take the first place in my heart.
Good words there.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will
good morning, church. God is good. And all the time. Yeah. Let us take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father good, Father God, who is so good. Thank you for the goodness you shower upon us, the blessings of finances, of homes, of friends, of family, jobs, chores, and things to do. Thank you for the money to make all these things happen. And let us give back to you the portion you have commanded. Amen. Sorry, that, thank you, Rhonda. That kind of hit me in a good spot. Thinking of the youth kid that I've been sharing about, right, that has called a few times in Washington County now. And I didn't get a call from that youth kid this week, so I hope he or she, remember they want to be anonymous right now, so he or she is doing well. But I thought about that song. And I know a lot of that person's history, and it's time for him or her to come home. We have a couple people watching with us online this morning, so blessings to the brothers and sisters out there. Does anyone have a prayer request or a praise they would like to share Bill.
I have a real phrase. Writing going into word that remember it was raining and all of a sudden it was really scary. It was keeping on going and just stayed on the windshield. And I'm praying, God, please, please, in the name of Jesus, please. Does that mean I give God praise? Hallelujah!
Yep.
Praise God. So that's a real book of praise. I have a secondary praise that's Paul and Jeff. They were being a kid who got an accident last night. Car came out with only one headlight on the vehicle before that accident. Lisa was driving. One doctor, the car sustained, their car sustained, driver's side here, and part of the car's drivable, and the reason was to get up, and everything was pretty good, so it was good.
So, Bill shared two praise and prayer requests about automobiles this week. The first one was he was driving, and his wipers stopped working. And most of you have gone down Canyon Road, somewhere between the zoo and the tunnel. So that was where it happened, but thank God the wipers are working again. You know, he really does make straight our paths before us, doesn't he? When we ask in every way, right? And not just with the steps we take, but with the cars we drive and our view before us. And then prayer for my cousin Jeff, Bill's son, and especially his daughter Lisa, who's really shooken up when they were involved in a hit-and-run accident that damaged the mirror, driver's side mirror inside of their car. Lisa was driving, so prayers for her to get her nerves back and be able to drive again. Yeah. I've been there. Maybe most of us have, unfortunately. Anybody else another prayer request or praise? Judy. Prayer for my mom, who is homesick, Carolyn Marble, that she continues to improve. My dad says it's chronic fatigue. My mom is 80 years young, so... pray for her. Yeah. Rhonda.
Praises that medical test came back for someone that can't do but very encouraging test results. I've been praying really hard for the study results.
God is good. God is good. Yeah. So Rhonda shared two praises. One for it's either a friend, a colleague, or a family member somehow that she's related to that had some positive, encouraging medical tests this week, and still a prayer request for some medical treatments to come because of that. And then a praise for healing in the family and relationships between family. And that is huge. Thank you, Lord, for that. Yeah. Anybody else? Praise or prayer request? Yeah. So continue to pray for Jim and Vicki Nichols as Jim's going through some treatments that are tiring him out with each infusion. And praise God that Vicki is there to be alongside him at this time.
Absolutely.
So Dan and Becky Kroom would like to continue to be lifted up in prayer with Dan's cancer treatment process, and especially November 14th when he has a wraparound appointment with all of his physicians to make some important decisions regarding that. Teresa.
My praise, my son, the musician, is having a great time.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I've got a 14-year-old. I'm starting to think about those things when you're not there, right? And parents, how many of you have been there where you have to surrender your children to God, right? That's like
every day,
right? And then you praise him when those relationships come back around, right? I'm sure I was there once. Yeah. So Teresa lifted up a praise that her son is traveling and playing music with a group, and that the traveling companions are wholesome and can be a mentor and speak into his life. And that is quite a praise for a parent. So, yeah, absolutely. Debbie. Hallelujah. Yeah. The new normal. Debbie's praising God for the new normal. Not that the old is to be neglected, but the new dog is working out. Fiona has a friend, and I'm sure that makes you feel better when you have to go in the office on Mondays. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. The new normal. He makes all things new, doesn't he? Yeah. As old as we all get, he makes all things new. That's right. I want to continue to lift up my father-in-law, Lou Carabinas. He continues to struggle to get some strength. I'm dragging him kicking to PT, but he's going. And ever since COVID, the beginning of last summer, he's really lost a lot of muscle strength and a lot of atrophy. And I believe he's going through a little bit of a depression, and he needs to be lifted up in prayer. And me too, quite frankly, because I'm his primary caregiver. So, anyone else?
Things are really tight around our house right now. Libby's got a medical procedure that I said something about last week. It's coming up in a little over 2 weeks. And Libby's been living with her dad. However, his family has COVID. So Libby had to get out of there. And Libby and Adele are, and the dog and cat are with Mom and I right now. And it's tight. Pray that I will keep my sanity.
Okay. Yes. So Linda is lifting
and
up.
Help.
Yeah.
And help.
Yeah. So Linda's asking us to pray for her to continue to keep her health and sanity while her daughter Libby is with them and everything she brings temporarily, trying to avoid COVID in order to be able to keep her procedure date coming up in a couple of weeks. So she had to leave where she was living to avoid that. So
Mom's not.
And also, that'd be Libby's grandma, your mom, right, is not dealing well with Libby being there with everything Libby brings. So, prayer for cooler heads to prevail and peace to be over the house for as long as it needs to be. Yeah. Anyone else? Landon, you said you had one earlier. What is it? Yeah, I was waiting to see if he would do it before I did, because he said he was going to. So Claire is home with a cough that she didn't want to share with anyone else. So she's home and Mom is watching her.
So Claire for thinking
of. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Anybody else? Teresa.
Reach out to her.
People need the Lord. Amen. That was up there. Yep. So Teresa's prayer is that we are able to reach out to our community and give them Jesus, whether it's here or in the community. They just need Jesus. What's the phrase? Know Jesus and you know peace. Got no Jesus, got no peace. And it isn't it just that simple? Yeah. Yeah. Let's go together as a family. Thank you, Lord, for being God. A job definition no man can ever attain, nor woman either. Lord, thank you for being the ultimate example, the ultimate set of morals and rules and compass on which we can set our lives straight. Thank you for guiding and watching over our paths, even when the rain comes and we can't see out the windshield of our life. We can still trust you to guide us in the moments our vision is clouded by this world. And then we can ask you to clear it out. Thank you, Lord, for illnesses that we go through that help us come together as a family. Thank you for car accidents that we survive to learn to be more wise and safe in our own driving. Lord, thank you that there was no injuries from that accident. Lord, please watch over those who are battling cancer right now, going through infusion treatments that make them tired and tough decisions that they have to make regarding them. Lord, for those of us that have to be very strict in maintaining our health, Lord, give us the discipline to do so. And doctors with the wisdom to help us. Lord, we thank you for just one little new dog and how a gift like that can change the world around us. We thank you for that blessing in Debbie's life right now, and especially for Fiona. Lord, we praise you for music. and how it can be used to mentor, to love, to guide, and then be reproduced to do that for others. Lord, we thank you for family. Sometimes this world seems to tear it apart because it is the foundation of faith. So, Lord, thank you for giving us family, and thank you for giving us each other as a church family. Lord, we now lift up this great nation. We would like it to be great and godly. Lord, we ask that you knock on the door. Holy Spirit, pry open the door of the hearts of our leaders. Give them wisdom. Show them righteousness. For your name's sake. Because, Lord, once upon a time we were a shiny city upon a hill. And, Lord, let us be that again for your glory and a witness of who you are in this nation's life. In God we trust. And we trust you, Lord, for our leaders, even if they don't choose to. Go with us this week. Guide us. Keep our windshield clear. And keep us focused on the lane that leads to life in you. Amen. All right, kiddos. Oh, somebody's smiling. Where he's reading kid worship right there. He's smiling.
Want to hear a joke?
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
Solar.
Solar who?
Solar, are you going to laugh at the joke?
Yes.
Yes. I am me, Solar.
Are you ready? We're going to sing Zacchaeus. Do you remember Zacchaeus? Okay. Are we doing this? Are we doing this Acapulco? Okay, all right. You ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Dear Lord, make us like Zacchaeus, to simply obey and come down off of our perch and welcome you into our lives. Lord, make these children like Zacchaeus to have their hearts opened as you undoubtedly approach them with the invitation. Amen. All right, guys.
It was funny because I was preparing for this sermon and the song came to my head. Again, you know, I've shared this before. I was born and raised in church, and so that was our vacation Bible school song, our Sunday school song. And it was great that Ivan was doing the motions. I was like, yes, I remember those. That's good stuff. Good morning. We're glad that those of you who are with us through our social media, you've joined us today. Welcome. And if you've missed some of the previous Sundays, we've been in the book of Luke. And we're going to continue there today in chapter 19. And what we've seen so far is that Jesus talks a lot about money, doesn't he? It's a very curious thing. He came to save those that are lost, but he talks a lot about money. He encourages his followers to use their earthly riches to invest in the eternal kingdom of God. And so if Jesus isn't telling a parable about money, Luke is recording Jesus' encounters with the rich and contrasts that to the experience of the poor and other marginalized people. So you either have Jesus telling a story about rich people, or he's actually interacting with those who are rich. And he preaches about that relationship, that dynamic of those who have and those who have not, those who have been marginalized. And so we'll see that some things just don't change, right, Sister Wanda? The marginalized of yesteryear are still the marginalized people of today. So what do we do about that as sons and daughters of the Most High King? Well, today's account is not a parable. It's an actual recording of Jesus' interaction with a man named Zacchaeus. We just sang a song about that. So turn with me to Luke chapter 19. I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation, but as always, I invite you to read from your favorite translation. So, Luke chapter 19, beginning with the very first verse. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Amen to God's word. Now, show of hands. How many of you have had unexpected company? You know, people come by. You know, I think people are doing that less nowadays, but I remember all the time as a kid growing up, tons of time people would just knock on your door. If it wasn't the neighbor or somebody from church or maybe even a family from school, "Oh, I was just in the neighborhood. I want to say hi to you all," right? We have unexpected company. A lot of hands went up in the sanctuary for those of you who are at home. Now, what I want you to do is share a quick story, not a long one, a quick story with your pew mate about a time you hosted someone unannounced. And I have a few questions for you to think about before you tell a story about how gracious you were and how prepared you were. Okay, so be honest with your pew mate. What did you do? Did you act like it was no trouble at all? Did you have your kids or family sit and entertain them while you ran around the house and tidy things up and try to find something to eat and drink? Okay, share with your pew mates. We'll give you a few moments to do that. All right, so do we have any brave souls that want to share anything you gleaned from, now don't tell their story, don't rat them out now, if some things have happened. Okay, Brother Bill. That's unexpected company.
We've seen him maybe since then, maybe two, three times. Now he's just disappeared, but that was his MO. But we opened the door up and he
hung. You let him stay with you. Yes.
We fed him. We fed him.
Uh-huh. And you fed him. Amen. So now Bill is sharing an amazing story. He and his wife just happened to meet this gentleman, and one day he knocked on their door, they invited him in, and he kind of stayed. So he wasn't an unexpected guest, an unexpected company, but he stayed for like a year and some, you said? About a year and a half. That's a long time. So he was a former neighbor that lived across the street from you. Okay. And then he followed you to the new location? Is that what happened? Okay. All right. Who else has a story of entertaining unexpected company? That's right.
So then I put my glass on. What about people? So he wanted to just come on. That's what I said. Oh, come on in. And dropped him out of bed and got a follow up the front porch. The house was a mess.
Yeah, okay.
And we all hung out on the front porch for an hour drinking water.
Nice. So Ivan shared a story. His old, your former T-ball coach came out of the blue, passed by the house, saw Ivan working on the fence this summer, and wanted to visit with his father-in-law. So Ivan did the smart move. The house was a mess, he says. His words, not mine. And so he had the guests wait out on the porch, and they entertained him there, drinking nice, cool water, because it was a hot day. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I see Lori going, well, you know. Oh dear. That's the way the in-laws treat you. So Sister Lori is sharing that her in-laws like to have things just so. They had already planned that they were supposed to come a particular day. So she was just waiting, you know, okay, well, I'll make sure I clean everything, spick and span, before they come. Well, they ended up coming a day early. And so her father-in-law thought that was funny. But the joke was on him. Sister Debbie, did you want to share? Okay, all right. Thank you all. Keep those things in mind. Keep those things in mind. Now, my siblings aren't here today to verify my account, but it is very true. So the next time one of them visits, you can confirm with them about my grandfather and unexpected company. So again, we're originally from New Jersey. We moved here. So my brother never really lived here, actually. He was already an adult and moved out of the house by the time my sisters and I moved to Portland, Oregon. And so when we first came, we lived with my mom's parents, my grandfather, Grandma and Grandpa Cook. So my grandfather, let me tell you real quick, my grandfather, I love him. So here's the deal. This is why I laugh about it, because sometimes, Sister Debbie, I realize, oh no, I'm acting like Grandpa. Oh snap, I'm acting like Granddaddy. Okay, but let me tell you what had happened. So this was after my grandmother had passed away. My grandfather outlived my grandma at 20-something years. And he became ornery in his older age. So depending on how he felt that day, when you rang the doorbell unannounced, you might not get in, Sister Lori. Because this is what my grandfather would do. True story, I'm not making it up. He would hear the doorbell. So we're in the back of the house. He sat up in the front most often. And so he would go up to the door. This is what he would do. He would look through the side corner window, curtain there, and he'd look out and see who it was. And be like, nope. And then he would just walk right on back. True story. He would just walk on back and sit down in his rocking chair like, and then he would start humming. And I'd be like, Granddaddy, you're not going to open the door? No. I don't want to be bothered with them today. And he would just sing and hum until you gave up and walked away, went off the porch. And then, you know what was really funny? Wink, he would sit there and he would go, I don't know why that woman came to my door. She know I don't want to be bothered with her today. And he would talk. He would talk about them. But then I would be like, but Granddad, they're your friends. They want to come and see how you're doing. So, you know, that was just the way my grandfather was. And he really was loving and kind. He was just ornery at the end. So sounds familiar to some of you? Yeah. Yeah. So now I will not, if you ring my doorbell, I'm not going to do like my grandfather, okay? I'm still going to look out and see who it is, but I'll let you in, especially since you've driven such a far away. You know, I have to let you. I'm compelled, right? I'm compelled to let you in. So we find that in today's passage, Zacchaeus didn't do that. He didn't do like my grandfather. He didn't go, eh. You know, once Jesus called him and said, no, come down. I want to go to your house today. He didn't go, yeah, nah. I don't feel like being bothered with you today. He didn't do that. He didn't make up an excuse to prevent Jesus from visiting his home. He couldn't use his cell phone, because I'm thinking in my head, had cell phones been invented back then, he could have just sent a text real quick to his wife, to the servants, get the house ready right now. Jesus is coming over. Right? Didn't have a cell phone. He couldn't text anybody. There weren't even pay phones for him to jump down out the tree, go get to the pay phone, call the family, get the house ready. None of that. He couldn't do that. What he could do, he only had two options. He could say, yes, I'd be glad to have you in my home. Or he could say, no. So even though he couldn't reach out to his folks at the estate to get things ready for the guests, he said, yes. Now, getting his house orderly and making sure there was adequate food and drink to entertain was really the least detail of the day. The more important thing is Jesus, the famous rabbi, called Zacchaeus by name and invited himself over. And this is what makes this story miraculous. So let's look at it in more detail. First, we're told very little about Zacchaeus. We really don't know except two things really about him. We know his stature, his physical stature. Okay, they say that he was short. And they also say his profession. He was a tax collector. Now remember, we talked about this last week. What tax collectors and their role and how people really didn't like them. If you were a tax collector, just by your job, the nature of your job title, people saw you as a traitor. You work for the oppressor, the Roman Empire. How dare you do this job? All the things, right? They were known to throw in a little extra taxation so that they could get a good commission. Because that's how they got paid. They got a portion of the taxes that they collected. So if they beefed it up a little bit, Sister Susie, that means a bigger commission, right? And so this is why their Jewish brothers and sisters despised them, those who were tax collectors. But to make things worse, Zacchaeus was a chief, right? So he was a manager. He was boss over the other tax collectors. So that meant he really raked in the dough, right? Because, so this is what, it's like a pyramid scheme. The people who worked for him, he got a commission off of their sales, off of their tax collections. And so it just went on. So all the money was trickling up to him. And then, of course, he would take his stash and turn it over to the Romans. So he's probably doubly not liked because he's the manager of the bad people. So getting a commission off the other commissions. So we know that he's a tax collector. The scripture describes him as short. So I'm 5 feet, I'm barely 5 feet tall. And of course I have heels on because I like to look like, you know, I'm 5'5", but really I'm just 5 feet. So sometimes when you see me without my heels on, you think, oh my goodness, this child ain't but 5 years old. What's happening? So I'm sure Zacchaeus probably had that treatment all along. You know, he's a grown man, but because he's not as tall as everybody else, we're just looking at him like, is that a kid? Like, what is happening right now? So he gets disrespected just because of his stature. And accompanied with his profession, he's marginalized. He's an outlier. He's an outlier. And so we see that he can't see over the crowd. And I'm sure when he sat down at the synagogue, just like me, I'm a tall person magnet, Sister Susie. I don't know what that's about. Tall people just like to come to me. So if I sit down right here in the front, there's going to be a tall person who's just going to come and sit right. I'm like, really? All the empty spaces around, and you just got to sit right here in front of me. Really? It happened to me the other night. Actually, I went to a play, Sister Rhonda. And I thought, oh, I'll get in first. I'll sit here. And nope. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Tall man coming and sit. I'm like, I just smiled at him. He said, oh, am I blocking your view? Yes, you are. So then he kind of scooted over. I was like, thank you for crying out loud. So I'm sure Zacchaeus felt that way, trying to jockey through the crowds. You know, I don't know if you've ever been at a parade or at a fair, you know, a festival where there's just a lot of people everywhere you turn. And so he's just trying to like get in view so he could see Jesus. Smart man, he climbed a tree. Easiest way, no one could block his view. Not even the tallest person could get in his way, right? So he avoids the crowds, jumps up into the tree. Now, some say maybe he was hiding in the tree, but I don't know. I think it was just a place of convenience, just so he could see Jesus. So he was determined to lay his eyes on Jesus. And again, you know, we don't have much info on him. We don't even know what his relationship to Jesus was. What we do know in scripture is that Jesus actually went to Jericho twice. It's recorded that he's been there at least two times. So who knows? Zacchaeus may have actually met Jesus the first time Jesus came through Jericho. Or he's even heard about the men that he healed. Because when Jesus went through Jericho before, there were two blind men, and Jesus heals them. So you know the story is just going all throughout the city. So if Zacchaeus heard that, oh, the rabbi who heals, the rabbi who preaches really good words, oh, I got to see him, right? So we don't know. Maybe he met Jesus that first time. It's unclear. But he may have seen him. He may have heard about Jesus healing the two blind men. Now, if Zacchaeus was able to hear Jesus preach on his visit to Jericho before, he may have actually converted back then and was waiting for Jesus to return so he could then update him on how his life had changed. Remember, Jesus had friends, supporters, who were not necessarily the new Christians. Remember, his disciples converted, his disciples followed him, but there were also people who actually supported Christ who were not following him and traveling around with him like the 12 did. You may remember there's actually a Pharisee, or maybe he's a Sadducee, who believes in Jesus, and he comes at night. Remember Nicodemus, right? He believed in Christ, but he knew his fellow leaders not so much. So we don't know if Zacchaeus already knew Jesus and had converted and was like, I believe. And so now I'm going to tell Jesus how my life has changed since he came through the last time. Now, so when Jesus actually looks up into the tree, as if he expected Zacchaeus to be there, he commands him to come down straight away so that he can break bread with him that day in his house. It's fascinating because, again, maybe Zacchaeus was waiting there to say, here's the things that I'm doing, Jesus, since I last met you. I have repaid people, and if I'm aware about cheating them, I'm returning to them fourfold the amount that I took. So he was excited to share that good report, so he had to climb the tree. No one was going to keep him from seeing Jesus, and more importantly, be seen by Jesus, right? Getting up into that tree enables him to see Jesus in the crowd, but it also allows Jesus to look up and see him. Because if he's short like me, you get lost in the crowd. I have had people literally walk next to me and look over my head like, huh, where is she? Like, really? Really? Come on now. Hello. And I'm like, and I got on heels too. Come on now. But people do that. We sometimes don't see others around us. We might blend in because we're simply not important. But he knows that if I can get up in the street, if I can see Jesus, he's going to see me. So that's what he did. And that's why Jesus looked up and calls him down, because he does see Zacchaeus. Now, some argue that Zacchaeus actually hadn't met Jesus before. So when Jesus calls him down from the tree, Zacchaeus accepts salvation and renounces his sinful ways and therefore declares Jesus. And he declares to Jesus the changes that he will make in the future. And so that's why you'll see, depending on your translation, one of the other of those two. So there's a few English translations that have the verbs in the future tense. New Living Translation shows it as a future tense. I will do these things, right? But there are other translations that present it. The verbs are actually in the present, as in, I am doing these things now and will continue to do those things. And so maybe, again, Zacchaeus had already been doing the good things because he heard about Jesus, because he encountered Jesus. Or maybe today, right here, right now, because he sees me in the tree, these are the things I'm going to commit to. But you know what? Either way, the ending is the same. So it doesn't matter if he had met Jesus previously on his other visit to Jericho, or if he just met him that very day. The end result is the same. Because the point of the story isn't when Zacchaeus came to faith, but is that he did come to faith. He actually chose to follow Jesus the Christ. And in so doing, his life was forever changed. And that's how it should be when we encounter Jesus. Our lives should not be the same. We shouldn't go back to being our same old selves. Once we encounter Jesus the Christ, our lives should be different for his glory. And that's what happens to Zacchaeus. Now, we have to talk about the people's reactions to Jesus. Those are the church folk. Because once again, Jesus befriends the marginalized. And, you know, church people, we get caught up in our ways. You know, we're, again, sometimes we're super holy, Brother Bill, we're just super holy. And so we question the people around us. What are they wearing? What are they eating? How are they acting? What kind of music are they listening to? What books are they reading? What music are they, you know, all the things, right? We have a tendency to be judgmental. And so that's what happened with the church people back then. They were a little perturbed that Jesus was befriending one of the enemies. It was probably okay for Jesus to recognize Zacchaeus up in the tree, but he pushed the envelope just a little too far, Sister Rhonda, by insisting on going to his house and breaking bread with him. I mean, what is that about? And then on top of that, he adds insult to injury by saying Zacchaeus is a part of the household of faith. He is a son of God. That's appalling. Can you imagine? I've been born and raised in church. I've lived my life holy for Jesus. And here he comes. He's going to save this tax collector who we all know is cheating. How dare you declare him to be a son of Abraham, the very son of God, and that salvation has come to his whole entire household. What about me? I've been living right all this time. How dare he do that? So Jesus blows the mind of the crowd, and I would dare say his disciples too, who are still learning, still gleaning from him and going, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. For Zacchaeus is a real tax collector. He's not a made-up character in one of the stories, one of the parables that Jesus told. Remember, because they've heard him tell stories before. But this is like, no, for real, for real. This is a real-life tax collector standing in our midst. We know he's a cheater. Are you really saying he's equal to us? He's a son of Abraham? What? Yes. He's not a character in a parable to teach about divine reversal. He's a real-life human being whose life has been changed because of his encounter with Jesus. So Jesus declares the salvation of Zacchaeus so others will know of the power of God to find and to save that which is lost. Now, what Jesus taught before about rich people not being able to make it into heaven so easily, he added to that lesson because he reminded them the things that are impossible with you as human beings, they are possible with God the Almighty. Even saving those who cheat, even saving those who lie, even saving those who, you fill in the blank, are not as perfect as you are, don't come to church as often as you do, don't serve on such and such committee. It's okay. Jesus came to save that which was lost. And so he has to remind the people of God, this person here, that person there, created in the image of God. That one right there, yep, I know they don't look like you. Created in the image of God. And my job is to get them saved back into the family of God. So we don't get to say, oh, you're too short because you're only 5 feet. Even when you have heels on, honey, you're just barely 5'3". Nope. You can say that, but thank God for God. Thank God for Jesus, for his salvation, because even though I'm only 5 feet tall, I still am in the number. I still get to be called a child of God. And so no matter what we look like, what language we speak, where we live, all the things, God is saying, I love you and care for you. I sent my son to die for you, to redeem you. And so we as sons and daughters of the Most High must remember that about the people around us. That if God could save us, guess what? He wants to save them too. That's the lesson that Jesus had to teach his disciples that day. And the people in the crowd who were naysayers going, why would he hang out with one of those people? Jesus teaches us that the people who are cast aside and not seen by others turn out in the end to be quite valuable to God. And not only valuable, but seen by God. Just as Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. So, what should we take away from this brief but spectacular story of Zacchaeus? Well, here's a few things. First, be ready to entertain unexpected company. Now, this doesn't mean your house has to be kept immaculate. I was sharing with Brother Fred. Now, the house rules that when I was growing up, because there's 5 kids and my 2 parents, we had a small house. We had to keep the kitchen clean. My mom and my dad, my mom did not care if our bedrooms were a hot mess, because, you know, company wasn't going to go into your bedrooms, right? But you had to have the kitchen clean where they walked into the door. That space was clean and the bathroom had to be clean. Because, you know, guests, first thing they want to do is use your restroom, right? And I know, like, even now, if you drive 45 minutes from here to my house, you're going to want to use the restroom, either when you first come or before you get back on the road. So house rules, got to keep those areas clean. Now, that's not the focus, though, that Jesus wants to focus us on. Be ready for the unexpected company, but it's not about the cleanliness of your house, although it won't hurt, Sister Judy. I'm just saying, keep it tidy is helpful. Oh. But what Jesus wants us to do is keep our hearts ready. Huh? It is our hearts that need to be ready to entertain the unexpected company. You can ask yourselves these questions to check the status of your heart. Listen to these questions. Again, not for you to share out with others, but just for yourself. How would I welcome strangers to our church? And what about those who look different, dress different, or maybe part of the community that lives in the margins? How would I welcome them? What would I say, and how would I act around a homeless person, or a person who struggles with addiction, or a gay or a lesbian person? What would I act like? Would I talk to them? Would I try to avoid them, stay away from them? Remember what Matthew 25 says. There's a nice discourse in there. And verse 40 says this, Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king will say, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So the question is, well, what's the doing? What did we do? Did you feed me when I was hungry? Did you clothe me when I was naked? Did you visit me when I was imprisoned? Did you visit me? Call upon me, check on me to see how I was doing when I was sick in my bed. That's what Jesus expects of us. So remember that verse. Be ready to entertain unexpected company. Second thing, what's impossible with us is possible with God. So let's trust God's plan. If you're like me, you like to plan ahead and you want to figure out all the things. And God is saying, it's my plan. If you trust me, the plan will work out. God's plan is to seek and recover the lost. We are God's hands and feet to seek and to recover. When Jesus left the planet, he entrusted that ministry of reconciliation to us. So our job is to actually reach out, go into the margins, and get the people and let them know who Christ is. Not build up walls to keep them out, but to welcome them in. And so we must rely on the Spirit to empower us to overcome our fear, because it's fear that keeps us from wanting to make friends with those in the margins. We feel familiar with the people around us, so we're good. But when you start interjecting those things that are different, I don't know about that. We begin to feel uncomfortable. And Jesus is saying, it's okay. My Spirit is going to protect you. I will empower you to overcome fear and to be victorious. It's not for us to judge others and conclude that they really don't want our help. They don't really want to know who God is. Our job is to love them into the kingdom. May I say that again? Our job is to love others into the kingdom. So, be willing, be ready to entertain unexpected company by having your heart ready. Second, what's impossible with us is very possible with God. Let's trust his plan. And lastly, this, expect a new and different work. Okay, Gales Creek, I can't say it enough. The old way of doing things and being not going to work for today. We have to expect a new and different work. God has not changed, but the times have. God wants to use us in this new and different age. So we can't rely on the old ways of being and doing to reach this world. We must be willing to do a new thing. So I remind you what scripture says. Isaiah 43 verse 19 says this. But forget all that. Jesus is saying, God is saying to his people, forget all the other things that we've done in the past, that I've done before you. Forget about all of those things. Because it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new, God says. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God is still the same. He wants to do a new and different thing using us. We have to be willing to be used. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your holy word. We bless you for it. We bless you that we can gather together in this nation and worship your holy name, study your holy word, and pray to you and sing praises to you. Thank you for that, Jesus. We ask now that you help us to apply your word to our lives. Help us to be ready and willing to host unexpected company. Help us to expect you to do the impossible and to use us for a new work in this new day. And Lord, we also want to take time to pray for those who visit with us through social media. They can't always make it out to the house, but they're here in spirit and through modern technology. Thank you for that. Bless them, Lord God. You know all the things that they need in their lives. We pray that they will have been touched by the word and will know that you are with them and inside their hearts. And we thank you, God. We thank you for hearing our prayer. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, let's close with a song and then have our benediction.
We're going to get all excited. This is a good one to close with. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus is Lord. Woo-hoo.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go. that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings.
Yeah. Amen. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. So go, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ. Share the good news. Be salt and light. Remind the people around you. They don't necessarily know who God is, but you can still say, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Mm-hmm. You can smile at them. You can pray for the next person standing to you in line at Fred Meyer. Amen?
Amen.
Bless those around us, so that they too can know who Christ is. So go in his peace, go in his love, knowing that he is with you to guide you, to protect you, to keep you. Until we meet again, go in God's grace. Staying around.